Now, I just need to tell you before we begin, I will not be done with this text this morning. Okay, there's a whole lot in this passage of Scripture. I can't deal with it all in one worship service or we'd be here for two. So we'll take a couple weeks, maybe three, and we'll look at this passage and we'll take it apart. But we want to begin right now, today, talking about Luke 11:14-28. And I want you to know that the first part of the sermon, which will be several weeks long, the first part of this sermon is going to be very difficult for some of us to listen to. And there are basically three reasons that make it hard for us to listen to this passage of Scripture. You ready? Reason number one, we deny the reality of the situation. The text, which Lil put before you this morning, opens with the words, Jesus was driving out a demon. And the truth is that we consider ourselves to be too well educated and too scientifically minded to accept that reality. We do not believe in the reality of demons. But the text says that Jesus was driving them out. And I got a question for you. If they don't exist, like the world tells us, what was Jesus doing? If they don't exist, as the world says, then either Jesus was mistaken about whatever it was he was doing that day, or Jesus is not who he claimed to be. And I got to tell you something. If he was mistaken about what he was doing, he ain't who he claimed to be. He can't be the infallible Son of God and be mistaken. You get it? If the Bible is inaccurate in this, in other words, if the Bible tells us something that is not true in this detail, it cannot be trusted in any detail. And the fact becomes that unless we can bring ourselves to accept the concept as true, our entire faith crumbles. Everything we believe falls apart. So either demons are real, or all this stuff we're doing today is one big bunch of nonsense. Secondly, under reason number one, we deny the idea that demons can make people sick. It's for the same reason. We consider ourselves too educated and too scientifically minded to believe such nonsense. But the text before us says that Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. And that demon caused the man it had infected to be mute. For the text says that when the spirit left the man, he could speak. Now again, this is what the Bible says. Science tells us that some other problem caused the guy to be sick. A virus, a germ, a birth defect. But what we need to deal with is the root cause. Now I'm speaking to you as a theologian. You ready? All sickness is related to sin. You go back in history to the Garden of Eden and they did not get sick until after they sinned. One of the consequences of living in a sinful world is that we now get sick. All sin empowers Satan by giving him dominion over the world in which we live and over us personally. Now, listen to me. You got a cold? It may be caused by some germ or virus. But ultimately, if you drive it to the root, the reason that that thing exists and the reason it exists, it infects you is because we live in a sin and a world which has sinned and rebelled against the Father. The world is thrown out of order. That virus was never in God's plan for you. We chose it when we picked sin. And by picking sin over and over again, we give Satan authority to rule over this world and to rule over us. Now, I want you to understand, I can't necessarily say that you got the virus because you did this particular sinful thing. You take a pair of scissors, my favorite illustration, you drive it in the palm of your hand, it's going to hurt and you're going to get sick. It's your fault because you did it. Okay? But somebody else could take the same pair of scissors and drive it through your hand and you're going to suffer, they're not, but it's their sin that made you sick. You get it? Okay? So you might be sitting perfectly healthy next to somebody who's full of germs and you'll catch them. It ain't your fault. But you sinned too. And your sin contributes to the pile of sin which keeps the world in rebellion against God and which makes us all suffer. Thus, the root cause for all illness and for every problem that we face in life is sin. It is sin which gives Satan power over us. Can I just tell you something? Unless Jesus comes, every one of us in this room today is going to die. I don't know what you're going to die from or what I'm going to die from, but I can tell you that the root cause of your death is sin. It's there. It is the sin which gives Satan his power over us. That power allows him to infect us and to infest us, and he does. And the way he does it, according to the Bible, is by sending demons into our lives to destroy us. That is their purpose. They want to destroy us physically if they can, mentally if they can, and spiritually. Their purpose in our lives and in our world is to take us down. So if you're here today and you are suffering in any way, having difficulty with this thing or with that thing or with some person or something else, the root of it is Satan. The cure is to drive him out. Sickness and suffering is rooted in sin, and sin is of Satan. So even though we want to deny the reality, I almost went in a whole different direction here and ruined my whole sermon. Even if we want to deny the reality described in today's text, like it or not, folks, there are demons around. And those demons make us sick. Now, I'm stepping out here and I'm going to tell you. If you're sitting there and you are resisting this, okay, you are right where he wants you. Because when you deny the theological reality, theology is the root cause. It is the primary of all sciences. Okay, none of the rest of them like it, but it's true. It is the explanation of truth, and you cannot research anything until you're looking for truth. So if you want to sit there and fight the explanation which the scripture gives, you can. But you are right where Satan wants you. Vulnerable to demonic attack. Now, number two, the second reason why we'll find this text hard to deal with is that we deny the spiritual authority which is needed to fix the problem. Jesus put it this way in the text. He said that a strong man, I think I am a strong man. Mm-hmm. Like it or not, you do too. You actually believe that you are strong enough on your own. You really think that. Some of us think it more strongly than others. Okay, my favorite, my life's verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, Lois says, I often leave all the center part, the part about Christ, and my favorite verse is, I can do all things. Okay? But I'm not alone in that. We think we can make it through life on our own. Jesus said that the strong man, that's me and you, guards his house against an enemy attack and does well until some stronger enemy comes along. Now you hear me. That stronger enemy that we all face today is named Satan. And if you think that you can stand against him on your own, you're dead wrong. He is too strong for you or me or any of us to handle alone. And if you think that you can beat Satan at his own game, that you can withstand him when he attacks your house, oh my goodness, he has got you where he wants you. He's going to smack you so hard that he will destroy you because you are not strong enough to fight him off on your own. But Jesus Christ is the strong tower. He is the one who lends us the armor we need when we fight the battle. He is the strongest force in the battle. And folks, the battle belongs to him. Jesus has the authority to fix the problem in your life and in mine. But for it to be effective, you must accept the fact that Jesus is the answer. For indeed he has the strength and the authority to oppose the foe who afflicts you, Satan. The problem is that the text before you, the problem in the text before you, is that religious leaders in Jesus' day, just like religious leaders in our own, refuse to acknowledge that Jesus has the authority to change the situation. But it's only when you acknowledge that, that we can prevail over the enemy who attacks us. I'm going to put it down in the vernacular. Are you ready? In this fight, Jesus is the big dog. There ain't no dog bigger than Jesus in this fight. And because he's the big dog in the fight, he wins. The third reason that we have trouble with this text is that we deny that we might be affected by a demon. See, we agree that all that happened in Bible times. It was all true back then. Okay, and we'll even go so far, some of us, as to say that it could even happen to some weak other people today who are not spiritually enlightened. We agree that Jesus has the authority to cast out evil spirits, but we fail to understand that the thing which affects us and which is causing us to believe as we do is indeed a demon. It never even occurs to some of us that the reason we don't want to do a part of God's word, or the reason that we won't look at our own behavior and ask whether or not it pleases God, the reason we won't do those things is because in truth we don't believe that we're susceptible to a demon. Can't get me. Others, yeah, but not me. I could never be under. I am in the Word. I come to church every Sunday morning. Okay? God speaks to me. Demon couldn't get me. Not me. Satan could not. I am the strong. No, wait a minute. Satan couldn't get me. But he will. And he does. Unless you are on your guard and open to the possibility that you are under attack. And when you think you're not, oh my, they will come. His minions will come to attack you. Now, sometimes those minions, you know, I heard somebody the other day say that I don't remember who it was. They said their daughter wanted to see The Exorcist, and they didn't want to go through that movie with that ugly thing. You know what my experience is? That movie is actually a plot of Satan to get us to think the wrong thing. Because we tend to think that spirits, when they come at us, are going to be ugly with gnarling teeth that make us vomit green. But sometimes they're little pretty things. They sneak up behind you and put their arms around you and kiss you on the cheek. Tell you things. Suck you away. Pull you into a place where you thought you never would go. And where you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that God does not want you. It's a demon. And that demon is after you. He will say all kinds of sweet things. But what he wants to do is pull you down and destroy you. So herein lies the problem with the text. If you deny the reality of the situation that demons exist, if you deny that Jesus has the authority to cast out demons, if you deny that you might be affected by a demon, then you are not standing with the Bible and with Jesus. You see it? The Bible says that these are realities. And if you're denying the reality in any part, you're not agreeing with the scripture and you are not standing with Jesus. It was Jesus himself who said, in the very text that was read to you just a few moments ago, "He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters." If you're denying the reality of the scripture, you are now standing against Jesus. He said it. If you do not stand with Jesus in this matter, you stand against Jesus. Everything that you have worked to build in life, including your dedication to God, will be thrown into the wind. You will have no protection because you have abandoned this big dog, the strong tower. Satan will move on you and devour you and scatter your life on the water. Without Jesus to fight for you, your life will be destroyed by the demons Satan has sent. For they will own you. It was in the reading this morning. The Apostle Paul himself said, "The one you serve as a slave is the one who owns you." So if you're not serving Jesus, if you are denying Jesus, you're standing with Satan. Jesus himself said it, because you are his slave. At the end of today's text, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hear and obey the word of God." Now understand that there are two actions hooked up here. There is, on the one hand, hearing the word of God, but hearing alone is not enough. You have heard the word of God today. Hearing the word of God must be followed by obedience. You ready now? Because I can't hold it back anymore. I'm going to be perfectly blunt and perfectly clear. That means you don't come to church and sit here and listen to the reading of God's word and then go home and do whatever you please. It means that if you come to church and hear the word of God, you resolve in your heart that when you go out of this place, you're going to do it. And if you refuse to do it, then you are standing against Jesus Christ, who is your only hope in life. You have abandoned the authority which can save you and are standing in opposition to the strong tower which will protect you. If you stand against him, there is only one reason. It is because an evil spirit has invaded your heart and your mind and your life. It has gotten its talons in you and it controls you. It has invaded your house and taken control. Hear me, please. Its goal is not to love you. It'll promise you all kinds of wonderful things. But in the end, it will destroy you. And if you want to be free of it, come to Jesus. He alone has the power to set you free.